Jason Carr about the Gizzi St. John altarpiece on display at the Portland Art Museum. And then coming up after this announcement, at the top of the hour is Stage and Studio, two groups from Portland's queer music scene, Orcus and Chanty Darling, talk about their music, their process, and their perspectives on life as artists in the queer community.
Tuesday nights on KBOO, it's Cubby Cushy, Cubby Cush.
With DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid.
10 p.m. to midnight.
2 hours of global bass featuring Bhangra, Bollywood,
and the urban sounds of the global diaspora. You done know.
To Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. On today's segment, our special guest, Joseph Lanker of Orcus and Chanticleer True of Chanty Darling. Orcus recently performed at Holocene earlier this year, making this their Portland premiere in the queer music scene. Chanty Darling was voted Best New Band 2016 by Willamette Week. And we are quickly gathering popularity in the queer music scene as well. Today, we will showcase these two talented and dynamic groups and discuss their music, their process, and their perspective on life in the queer community. Join the discussion and stay tuned for Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. Joining me in the KBOO studio today, we have Joseph Lanker of Orcus and Chanticleer True of Chanty Darling for our Portland Queer Music segment. Hello and welcome to Stage and Studio.
Hi, James.
Hi, James. Thank you.
So, Joseph, let's start with Orcus. Orcus recently performed at Holocene earlier this year, and I personally had the pleasure of being in the audience. Tell us about your band and the show from that night.
Our dear friends, Lizzie Ellison of Radiation City, she's a dear, dear friend of mine, and they were doing this album review. We had been working on this record for quite a while now, and asked us to open for them. So we're essentially a trio, kind of more on the sort of dark pop side of things, kind of make you dance and cry simultaneously. My friend JT Lindsay is the producer, and Natasha Louis is a female vocalist on the record. So we were so excited to make our debut with them.
And so that was going to be my next question as to how you describe your music and what's your inspiration.
Yeah, a lot of our inspirations we draw from a lot of like Swedish electronic music, like Royksopp and I Am Am I Who Am I. It's a kind of an ambient mix of electronic and also kind of sort of mathy melodic things. Foundationally, I'm a pianist, things like that. So it was kind of really exciting to put out a dance record.
So I noticed that some of your songs have very interesting sound samples. Could you tell us about your process?
Yeah, a couple of our things, we like to use kind of unconventional sounds. A couple of our tracks involve a lot of like nature sounds. There's one of our opening tracks is pretty much 80-85% insect noises, like cicadas and things of that nature to run through a MIDI controller, and whale sounds, a lot of these things that kind of incorporate this sort of theme that we're doing that is kind of tying in nature and electronic at the same time.
And how has the community received you so far? So Holocene was your premiere, Portland premiere, correct? Was that correct?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It was, yeah. Yeah, what I've kind of been doing before has been more in the dance community, as well as kind of art curation. So the first thing I did when I was young was a musician, and so then kind of throughout the years I've been doing a lot more work as a dancer and a painter and an art curator. So now it's kind of great to make my stamp on the music scene finally.
That's awesome. So enough of the suspense. We're going to listen to a short sample from Orcus's album.
Oh, great.
Okay.
That should be coming up here pretty shortly. In the meantime, for while we get that going up, can you? Oh, there we go. That sounds amazing. That was a sample from New Shadows by Orcus. So, Joseph, does Orcus have any upcoming performances that you would like to tell us about?
At the moment, I think within the next, kind of our next venture, we'll be releasing a new video coming out. That's kind of where we want to go with the project, is kind of this sort of multi-sensory, more of an experience as opposed to just kind of... a one-note sort of musical show. So we'll be releasing a video within the next week or two, finishing up, tying up all the ends on the album, which should be coming out within the next month or two. So stay tuned to our Facebook, and we have SoundCloud and everything. So a bunch of exciting things coming up for us, and we're excited.
And I've got a link to your site on a website so they can get to your SoundCloud as well. Perfect. So once again, for those that are just now joining us, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon, and joining us today, our special guest Joseph Lanker of Orcus and Chanticleer True of Shanti Darling. So next we have Chanticleer True, aka Shanti, aka the Funky Flambeau, aka Shanti the Darling, which Portland local with Portland local Shanti Darling. Shanti Darling was rated Best New Band of 2016 by Willamette Week. So Shanti, I have been a fan since you were with Magic Mouth. Tell me about Shanti Darling, how Shanti Darling came about.
Shanti Darling came about kind of towards the end of when we were kind of ending things with Magic Mouth. I had kind of a grouping of songs that I've been working on, and they're kind of an amalgamation of my years being obsessed with disco. I'm mm-hmm. also a party promoter. I've been obsessed with disco and funk and R&B my entire life, and so this is kind of an amalgamation of that and working as a party promoter and kind of pushing that music out there. It's music that I always wanted to make, so it kind of came naturally, and I just started writing these songs, and I was able to realize them along with my friends and producers, Damon Boucher and Natasha Cometto.
Nice. And so, and tell me about your process and your inspiration as well. How would you describe your music?
I guess it's just very... I often will say the funk is in the framework of this music. It's just kind of built in. We have like lots of different sorts of sounds. It kind of goes along the gamut, kind of like a shoestring theory of everything that's kind of connected to like the R&B genre. There's funk, there's disco, there's house, there's freestyle. There's like all of these different genres that are all very groovy and dance worthy. So...
Right. And so tell me about the parties. Is that something you do personally, or is that related to Shanti Darling as well? Or,
you know, I think everything is kind of bubbles up from the same place, and it kind of is inherently connected. I started doing those parties when I first came here, and previously when I lived in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And since Shanti Darling kind of took off, I started a new party called Jump Jack Sound Machine that really focuses on all of that music, and we kind of run the gamut there too. We play lots of different types of house music, and we just did a kind of a retrospective on the early 80s and like hip hop and like funk and new wave when all of that music was bubbling up kind of at the same time. We did a kind of ode to that period in music mm-hmm. recently as one of our kind of musical installations, I like to call them. Mm-hmm. So that night is very good. Every second Saturday in Mississippi Studios.
I was about to say, tell them about it. It's a really fun party, actually.
It's a really fun party. Every second Saturday.
You can show up at 1:30 and the party's still
going. Yeah, really just come through.
So we have a sample from Shanti Darling as well. Let's have a listen to one of their tracks. ¶¶
privilege of bearing all day to make my way, shake the dust from my feet, that energy I'm so deep that's calling me. Time to wake up.
Now I know you have upcoming performances because I just bought a ticket. So you want to let everybody know about the performances you have coming up?
Yes, I really do. I'm really excited to be a Red Bull Sound Select artist, and they are putting on a 3-day festival here in Portland in May, May 18th, 19th, and 20th, I believe so. My show's on the 19th. It's with an artist called Shamir and another one called Harriet Brown. Both of whom I'm huge fans of, and we'll be a part of that lineup on the 19th. And it's going to be a really great show, and it's going to be lots of really exciting things coming up to the show as well. So be sure to tune in to my Facebook and my Insta, Twitter, all that stuff.
Nice.
And see what's going on.
Yeah, we've got you plugged in on the site as well. So once again, for those that are just now joining us, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon, and joining us today are special guests Joseph Lenker of Orcus and Shanti Clear True of Shanti Darling. We are going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned for Stage and Studio.
Good morning. You are listening to Stage and Studio. Stage and Studio has been made possible by KBOO members and a grant from PD Expendables, Stage and Studio Supplies. PD Expendables sells and rents to film and theater production, from gel and globes to paint and lights, featuring the latest Airy LED lighting. They can be reached at 503-887-5880. Or pdexpendables.com.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today on Stage and Studio. I just wanted to take a quick moment to highlight some local community events. The Vanport Mosaic helps to preserve the memory of the people and stories of Vanport, and this year they are hosting the Vanport Mosaic Festival 2017. The festival is a 4-day multidisciplinary exploration of the history and legacy of Vanport, Oregon's second largest city wiped out by a flood in 1948. This event will be hosted May 26th through May 29th and June 2nd through June 4th. For more information on this festival, visit their website at www.vanportmosaic.org. Next, Theater Vertigo brings you A Maze. There are two kinds of mazes, the kind where you try to get through and out the other side, and the kind where you try to get to the center. A teenage girl recreates her identity after 8 years held captive in a suburban basement. A band remakes itself post-rehab and post-hit song. A self-taught artist gains a cult following for his 15,000-page comic book. This play was workshopped at Jaw Festival at Portland Center Stage in 2010, and the show runs April 27th through May 13th. Thursday and Sunday evenings are pay what you will. For ticket information, visit their website at www.theatervertigo.org. Next, The Color of Now is in the midst of their first big fundraiser and are actively seeking funds to support their upcoming year of events and their facilitators. The Color of Now brings together activists, artists, and you to delve into the intense issues we are all facing. They create space for their audiences to ask questions and hear from diverse perspectives. Upcoming event themes include immigrants in America and indigenous people's rights, two critical issues central to the social justice conversation that we strive to honor, learn from, and activate. For more information, check out their website at www.thecolorofnowpdx.com and click on Donate. Thank you for listening. And now, back to Stage and Studio. Good morning and welcome to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. Joining me in the KBOO studio today, we have Joseph Lenker of Orcus and Shanti Clear True of Shanti Darling for our Portland Queer Music segment. So let's shift gears a little bit and have a short group discussion. So for everyone, we're just going to kind of ask questions and have a casual conversation. Now, how do you feel that queer music influences the LGBTQ community?
I'm thankful to have like the support of my LGBTQ brothers and sisters and everything, but I think for me, a lot of times I see the music that we're making right now influencing the other community outside of ourselves. Mm. More so, we have the support of those people, but what I've been seeing lately is a lot of people who aren't queer identified necessarily, maybe politically speaking and like socially, but a lot of those people are the people that I see more often at my shows and kind of, you know, when my shows are sold out and all of that stuff, those are the people who are like really kind of attaching to it. Like all my brothers and sisters, they, you know, they know mm-hmm. what's up and they feel it and they like vibe with me and like we're, you know, a community and I'm a representative of that community. So I think from that perspective, they're like more so championing me and like, yes, you know,
right.
I'm kind of holding up a mirror so people can see into our community.
Certainly.
But I think as far as like influencing and people kind of like beginning to attach and like react and to kind of, you know, come into like that world, it's more so the other parts.
For sure. I think specifically just, you know, music in general, you know, is I think one of the biggest sort of vehicles that we have just, you know, as from a human sense to really unify people and have people come together of all types of people, not even just in the queer community, but you know, having music be sort of one of the, you know, the highest, most accessible forms of art, really, I think, within the important part is to reach a ginormous wide variety of listeners, you know, not queer, straight, you know, all of the above, I think is really incredible to tell stories and to be vulnerable in front of people, but also especially with kind of the types of music that we do, surging in kind of like a dance oriented thing. I think there certainly needs to be a lot more joy and being kind of a vessel and a vehicle and an example of you know, for people to feel liberated of all types, and you know, the response from all different kinds of people have been really amazing. And you know, we have such a strong queer community here and family, and it's just kind of great to be put on multiple platforms, you know, kind of through the circuit. That's not it's very inclusive and not right. exclusive to certain types of people. So
right, I'm also a working performer, and I was thinking about it recently with everything that's happening politically in our country right now. People will talk about protesting, and for me personally, my art form is a form of protest.
For sure.
By creating awareness for what's happening right now, and also highlighting cultures that I identify with, and ideals that I identify with.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, thinking about that, would you say that this music and queer art's reflective of the biases of the community and highlights the beauty of its subcultures?
Definitely. I would say it is. I think any art that you make is inherently political. I used to say that what I did wasn't political, but I think that was very naive to say, because most of the times people will always come back and they'll talk to you politically about like what it is that you're doing and how you're affecting them. And I think just kind of living in this world is inherently that.
Certainly.
And you are a reflection of what your experience is.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, making any projection, you know, of any sort, you know, takes bravery and, you know, takes an element of vulnerability and kind of a nakedness to be in front of people. And that's what I really, really love so much about it is, you know, you get to be kind of an example of liberation and bravery and give people kind of options and right. you know, to start. Storytell and to kind of get people in a place of love and community, and but also push the envelope simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Show people things that they haven't seen before, things that may be controversial. And you know, I just think now more than ever, you know, with the condition of humanity, you know, it's so important that we, you know, we kind of hold each other's hands and dance together and right. Cry together and totally. You know, and to use our projection and our art form as a vehicle to kind of house and facilitate that is really truly an honor. And and also, you know, there's kind of an exchange here with the people that are, you know, experiencing the story that you're telling. There's this exchange, this conversation that is kind of happening simultaneously while, you know, we're singing or dancing. And you know, there's this kind of unspoken sort of communion that occurs that is right. Kind of a really safe place for solidarity and And love, I guess, yeah.
You know, I grew up in a small town, and I remember before I came out many, many moons ago, seeing like Freddie Mercury on TV and then hearing Sylvester sing, and I'm just like, who are these people? Like, what, how does, you know, and that was a time where like, or even Boy George or George Michael,
Bowie,
David Bowie, like, you know, and they were really pushing the envelope at that time. And I bring this up because we live in a time where a lot of younger queer people don't understand, like just 45 years ago, holding hands in a public place was just like unheard of.
Right.
How did you get to where you are? Like, I mean, I think everyone else has a similar story about, you know, coming out, coming to awareness of yourself and your sexuality and really trying to, cause you literally put yourselves on display. Like you share yourselves with people and let them know what, you know, who you are and what people are capable of. Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, to sort of put yourself on display, you know, in those ways. I mean, you know, people like Bowie and Prince and, you know, all the above have been, you know, incredible pioneers to I don't know, to access different parts of your kind of psyche and your kind of make the possibility and the sort of ways that you can express yourself pretty limitless, and that, you know, there can be I think there's this kind of universal sort of alien art communication that goes on with both of those things. I mean, I mean, art has always been, you know, my sort of sanity and vessel. You know, I grew up in a small town as well, and it was, you know, very not you know, my kind of queerdom was not you know, easily accessible. So and I think like through my artistry, it's always been, you know, sort of my sort of safe place. Mm-hmm. And kind of the practice of that and the ritual of pushing that forward myself has really I don't know, kind of opened up a lot more for other people to do the same, I suppose.
Yeah, and those artists also have, like, you know, I think what you're also saying is, like, they've dismantled those societal norms to a degree and letting people know the that their expression is limitless, and that expands our consciousness, and expanding our consciousness brings us together, closer as a community, and increases the vibration of, like, how we can communicate in our acceptance of one another.
Sure.
So I think that's, like, what's very important for me in doing this work.
Totally, yeah. And however we can best encourage bravery in others and ourselves and push each other forward, I think that makes so much more of us of a kind of a get the ball rolling on liberation, really.
I'd love to talk about gender bending, because I know you both have like, it's just like, what, who am I bringing forward today? Like, I noticed you bring a lot of gender bending into your, not just in your performances, but just even when you're just hanging out, I see a jump jack machine all the time. Like, what does that influence do for you, and like what you're trying to portray?
I don't know. At this point, I don't even feel like I'm bending gender. It's kind of just like pulling from any and everything. Sometimes I'm just like, today I'm taking like dragonfly energy and I'm gonna channel that into my look. Today I'm gonna bring, you know, Fred Meyer, NYX Cosmetics aisle realness. You know, like, it doesn't matter like what it is. The funny story is at Jump Jack, the last time a friend of mine was on a kind of a date, and the dude said to him, he was like, oh, that girl's my friend, you know, this is like his function, it's his party. But when he's like, oh, the guy with the lady's coat and the lady's glasses. So, and that's when you kind of realize that someone else has like that boundary or whatever, but it's not something that I even like really think about ever. Like, I shop in every single aisle of any store that I go in.
Totally. I mean, I think for me personally, I mean, the closer and closer I can get to the alien inside me, that's, you know, that's kind of my sort of route, is, you know, kind of not of this world or this realm. I think the more and more that I'm in tune with this kind of, you know, inner being that has no gender and has, you know, kind of no sort of boundaries of that, you know, the closer I can get to the cosmos, the better.
Yeah, that's Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan in a jumpsuit.
Yeah.
So there's something else I'd love to talk about. So I've been in Portland for like 9 years, and you know, we always, there's the popular gay bars everyone goes to. And then at some point I noticed that it feels like, not that there's a divide, but like, there's just a there's a different avenue in the queer community that's not so, I guess you'd call it mainstream, not so logo. And right. How do you feel about that? Like the inclusiveness / exclusiveness of the gay scene versus the queer scene? I hate to call them different things, but I think you get what I'm saying, right?
There's a divide. Yeah, there was like a kind of moment where things shifted, where queer started throwing events in bars that were not their own, bars that are within their community, or it's not even bars, spaces, warehouses, like all seem, remember that party that used to be in the convenience store?
Yeah.
Vera Rubin threw.
That's right, the Belmont Bodega.
Yeah, Aaron Bokey and all them. So like the Belmont Bodega party is like a perfect example. I think queers are more interested in bringing like-minded people together. And a lot of those spaces are more inclusive of anyone, not just the LGBTQ community, everyone. And so there has been this talk, and I'm not exactly sure where I am with this conversation yet, but like, you know, extending the queerness to like a larger group of people.
Yeah.
That's another conversation altogether.
Totally. Right.
But I definitely see it happening in some regards.
Yeah, I think the closer and closer that we can get to more of to kind of not, I don't know. And I don't want to say hide, but the less that, you know, and we there definitely is an element where we do all need to huddle together, but
right.
But also I think there's simultaneously an element that we need to also be loud and be in the world in every kind of aspect, that, you know, kind of normalize, because, you know, we're here and we're here, we're queer, and we're all around you.
We're so, going nowhere. So.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
Well, that's about all the time we have for the day. So once again, for those that are just now joining us, you have been listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon, and today we've featured special guest Joseph Lenker of Orcus and Chanticleer Chu of Shanti Darling. Thank you so much for joining us today, Joseph.
Thank you for having us.
If you've missed any of this interview, you can listen online later at kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You can also get post events or get previews by joining our Facebook page. That's it for Stage and Studio. Extra special thanks to our engineer, Judy Feistel. Our opening and closing music is brought to you by Seattle-based queer electronic band Boarding School. Till next week, I'm James Dixon with Stage and Studio. Thanks for listening.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor What the Festival at the Wolf Run Ranch, about 90 miles east of Portland, from June 16th to 19th. What the Festival is a weekend of interactive art, 8 stages of electronic and live music, speaker series, movement classes, and more. This year, performers include Zoo, Cut Copy, Grammatic, OTT, Big Wild, Rez, Sophie Tucker, Baker Matt, Paper Diamond, The Funk Hunters, and many more. Again, that's What the Festival, happening at the Wolf Run Ranch from June 16th to 19th. More information about What the Festival can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Thank you.
the screen. Hang him on my wall, Randy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Dawson Carr. He's the Janet and Richard Geary Curator of European Art at the Portland Art Museum. And he's here to talk about Giese's altarpiece, which is on show now at the museum through July the 9th. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Dawson.
Always a pleasure, Joseph.
As you go into the You go up the stairs in the museum towards European Art, the main gallery, which is the one on the right, it has this altarpiece, which is sort of burnished wood frame and lots of gold leaf, and there are 9 images. And this altarpiece has been restored and collected. All the panels have been reassembled because
they're
scattered by different owners. You're going to talk about what the stories are, and then there's a particular special feature that one of the panels was lost, so it was recreated by a contemporary artist. So just tell us who is on the panels, on the altarpiece.
Well,